We hear and see much of the various characters of the Christmas story, don't we? There's Mary, of course, with her baby Jesus, and we have the Magi, the wise men. And by the way, there's more than three of them, okay? And then we have the shepherds, and again in the nativity scene that we see these days, there's but one. Well, no, there's plenty of them, and so we have many churches that do have Christmas play, and they reenact, if you like, the Christmas story and all of that, and there will be a Mary song, there will be a shepherd song, and all the additions sometimes that people that are being creative. There's a drummer boy in one of the plays that I've seen, and of course that's not quite in line with the scripture, but all sorts of things that do come during this reenactment of the birth of Christ, mostly by children, and we find them a little cute, and some picking their nose, and some little restless, and some would forget the lines, and the teacher here would sort of whisper, and it's really not a whisper, but you know, we watch all of these things, and we find it cute, and indeed a reminder of the Christmas story. But there's one character there, I thought, that at least in the many plays that I have seen, is kind of an extra. You know, he doesn't say much. He doesn't bring gifts. He's just there, essentially, to accompany Mary and kind of stand at the right place. And that character, of course, is Joseph. Joseph. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but the Bible does not record a single word spoken by Joseph. Not a single word in the Christmas narrative. All that was recorded for us were not his words, but his actions. Not his words, but his actions. Now, this seemingly extra character in the Christmas play, if you like, was really a man of incredible faith. A man of character. Perhaps the kind of man that if we're writing our will, or if we've written our will, the kind of man that we would entrust our children to be raised by this man if for some reason we perish. You see, God could have chosen any other man in Bethlehem, but he chose Joseph and entrusted him the responsibility of the human, being the human provider and the human protector, earthwise, of his son. It would be Joseph who will teach Jesus the Torah. It would be Joseph that will take him to the temple and teach him God's law, Moses' law, and many other responsibilities that a Jewish father have in raising a Jewish son. But as Joseph obeyed and fulfilled the responsibilities God placed on him, he was exposed. He was humiliated and perhaps even ridiculed by the community of his day, because of what has happened to his espoused wife, very important word, his espoused wife, and through the society standards of his day, he would have been easily considered as a fool in taking Mary to be his wife. Like Joseph, tonight I want to ask you, have you ever come to a point in your life when your dreams turned into a nightmare? This evening I'd like us to consider this man Joseph and his shattered dreams. That's the title of our message this evening. Shattered dreams. Dreams. Goals. Aspirations. We all have them. Goals in life. But truth be told, not all of our dreams and not all of our desires that all of our aspirations or our goals in life come to fruition and into reality. For some of us, those dreams, not only did they not come to reality, instead, they turned into what we would deem as a nightmare. Something we did not expect to happen. In fact, the very opposite of what we wanted to happen. And in our humanity and in our mortality, driven by our sorrow, we wonder and ask why. Why did this happen, Lord? I thought you loved me. Why did you allow this to happen in my life? Do you care? We won't admit that. But I think at some point in life, you were there. And for some of us, it's not just one time. Perhaps a couple more times. Now for some of us, the burden is too heavy, and we are now doubting the goodness and the greatness of our God. And even for some, because of their shattered dreams, they give up on God and leave the faith altogether. You know, this year with COVID and all of that, many dreams have been shattered. Saints and sinners alike. Many desires have not been realized. And beloved, I don't know what you're going through this Christmas time. And you don't know what I'm going through. But this evening, instead of us asking, why, Lord? Let us witness the life of Joseph and learn how he handled his shattered dreams. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Would you stand with me if you're able? The Gospel according to Matthew here in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Father, thank you once again for a portion of your word. Lord, as we consider it this evening, once again I ask that you would teach us your truth. Lord, as best as I could, I've done a study, used some references from the minds of men. And as I deliver this message and in my attempt to communicate your word tonight, whatever gaps there may be, Father, I pray that you'd fill in. Help me, dear Lord, to preach well this evening, not only to this little remnant that we have here, but for those and places and times that this message will go forward. perhaps today, tomorrow, and in the days coming, when perhaps I myself am no longer on this, your earth. Use this message this evening, Father, to encourage somebody today, perhaps, who have, who is, and who will have some shattered dreams. I pray that your will and way will be accomplished in us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Mary was espoused to Joseph. That means she was betrothed, or in our terms today, she was engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, however, unlike today, betrothal is much more than an engagement in our modern, sophisticated Western society. It's more because it is legal and binding. Marriage contracts are signed by the parents, and for all intents and purposes, both Mary and Joseph are legally married, only that they do not live together as yet. In the eyes of the community and in the law of the land, they are married because Mary was espoused to Joseph. That's what it means. All that was to happen in this case is Joseph, the bridegroom, would prepare himself and his house, and when he is ready, he, along with the community, an entourage, if you like, will pick up his bride and bring her home, and together they would start their life together and consummate the marriage as husband and wife. How exciting that must have been for Joseph. You know, thinking of things while he is hammering while he's preparing all of the things that he's imagining Mary to be, and the excitement of their life together. So it was a time of excitement for Joseph and indeed for Mary. It was also a time of expectation. Both of them would be counting the days, surely. You and I have been there. Those of us who have been married, our young couple here, Mitchell and Veronica, have just been there. They were counting the days. But notice here in verse 18, a shattering discovery. What was a time of excitement and expectation for Joseph turned into a time of embarrassment. Mary, who was espoused to Joseph before they came together, the Bible says, was found with child. We know, of course, that this child is of the Holy Ghost, but Joseph didn't. Not yet, at this time. You see, under Jewish law, during the betrothal period, the bride and the groom are to keep themselves pure. They are to reserve themselves for each other. I wish this is still true today. Mary and Joseph were meant and expected to be virgins before they get married. And so when Mary was found to be with child, imagine the embarrassment that this brought not only to herself, but to Joseph himself and the family into the community and the standards of the day. Imagine the gossip around the place. For all intents and purposes, Joseph's dreams and desires turned into devastation. His dreams were shattered. There's no other way. There's no other word to describe it. Isn't this true of us sometimes? We make plans for the future. Good plans. Godly plans. And good intention plans just to fall into pieces before our eyes. No doubt they were unexpected and yes, unwanted, and it breaks our hearts and on occasions breaks us as a person of faith. You see, Psalm 37:23 tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And here is one that will mess in your head. And he delighteth in his way. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let me share with you a biblical truth this evening. It may be hard for us to understand this, let alone accept it, but it is true. You see, beloved, God is at work in the behind the scenes of our lives. And yes, listen, sometimes it's actually the Lord who shatters our dreams. Sometimes, as hard as it is to fathom, as hard as it is to accept, it is God Himself who shatters our dreams. Think of Job, an upright man. The Bible says, though no fault of his own, even while sacrificing for his own family, just in case that they have done wrong before the Lord, his life was turned upside down. Think of Joseph, the dreamer. He went from the pit to the prison, but eventually rise into a position of power. I'm sure he did not understand why these things happened, but in the end, his testimony to his brothers was, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Think of Moses, from being the prince of Egypt to becoming a lowly shepherd, not even to his own pasture, beloved, but the pasture of his father-in-law, Jethro. What about Paul? He was bent and zealously desiring to eradicate the enemies of Judaism, only to find himself blinded in the road to Damascus. Why? For he was a chosen vessel unto the Gentiles. You see, beloved, the Lord's plans for us are very different and rarely what we would plan for ourselves. But his plans are always best, even when they hurt us deeply. Like you, I have planned for so many things in my personal life. I have planned for our church, for our ministries. None of us knew about this word social distancing before. I never really understood what density quotient means or meant. Who would have thought that on these days of freedom and rights and equality, etc., that we and the rest of the society will be locked down? To be told that we can only go out for 4 or 5 reasons. I never imagined preaching and pastoring over a device or in front of a device. Pastoring from a distance. I never imagined wearing a mask prevented from hugging my very own grandchildren. I remember this succinctly. Cherry and I would go to Berwick for her appointment, and rather than going through the freeway, we would go the side way so we have an excuse because we're out for medical reason. And we would go to Clint's and Bianca's place, and the children would be at the door, the screen door, and say, Grandy, why aren't you coming in, that means. How do you explain that to a little child? And we would put up a brave face and we say, well, the policeman will get angry, Ben. I never imagined I could be prevented from, like I said, hugging my own grandchildren and shake people's hands. But you see, we may not like it when the Lord shatters our dreams and our desires, but when everything has been said and done, and when the dust settles, we will see that His plan was the perfect plan all along. I don't think we're seeing it yet. What we're seeing is pain at the moment. What we're seeing is confusion. What we're seeing is discord. But when all of this settles, God, as always, He will tell us and He will reveal to us His perfect plan all along. I confess to you, over this pandemic, I learned about myself more than I thought I would. I've learned about how precious my family is. I've learned about our people here in the church, as well as outside of the church. Things that I thought I knew, or at least I've assumed to know. But you see, in all of that, Romans 8:28 remains to be true. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'm beginning to understand what Paul said to the Corinthians in his second letter to them in chapter 4, verse 15 and 17. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Joseph had a shattering discovery. Notice now his serious difficulty. Notice now here the character of Joseph laid before us. And this is what we and I need to learn for this evening. The Bible referred to him as a just man, an upright man. That's what it means. This means he was a man of faith in God, blameless under the Jewish law even. You see, he was all of this, it's important to know this, he was all of this before the difficult situation found him. But here's another important biblical truth. When you and I are faced with the storms and the troubles of life, our true self comes out. What is inside of us is revealed for ourselves to see, and sadly, for everyone else to see as well. What we really are made of, what is really in our hearts, are exposed under the microscope of the Word of God. And I must confess, what comes out during those times of pressures are not always godly and not always edifying. I submit to you, beloved, I believe that is one of the reasons why the Lord sometimes shatters our dreams, so we can have a better view of ourselves, who we really are, and what we really are before the Lord. You see, anyone can rejoice and praise the Lord when things are good. But when things are hard, when things are bad, or at least what we see or deem as bad, I wonder how many of us will continue to praise the Lord. Somebody said how we respond toward God in times of crisis reveals how deep our faith is, reveals how deep our commitment to God and His will for our lives. Secondly, notice now the choices of Joseph. Again, under the Jewish law, Joseph can rightfully and lawfully humiliate Mary for falling pregnant. Especially if we talk about Deuteronomy chapter 22. Turn your Bibles there, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 22, please. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let's begin here in verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. That means not a virgin. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. You see how telling this is, and how public this thing is, and how embarrassing it is, really. And here in verse 18, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he had brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But verse 20, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door and watch, door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. That was the standard at the time. And Joseph, having Mary as his spouse to him, have all the legitimate and rightful reason to do that to Mary. To bring before the elders of the city and tell them that his espoused wife, Mary, is no longer a maid. Joseph, number two, can also choose to write her a bill of divorcement and leave her to fend for herself and raise the child in poverty and shame. In the Jewish economy, beloved, at that time, women don't necessarily work for themselves. That's why they needed a husband to provide for them and to protect for them. And so he has all the right to divorce her, write a bill of divorcement, leave her, and fend for herself and the child. Or, although not really common choice for any decent Jewish man of his day, marry her and raise the child as if the child is his own. You see, beloved, none of these three choices are ideal. Even the third one, many times in life, you and I are faced with situations and choices that are not ideal, but we have to make choices regardless, and the choices we make may and may not be acceptable to everyone. Now, in those tough situations, the best that we can do is genuinely seek the Lord's leading and go on trusting and believing in what you have taken to Him. And again, thirdly, notice now the compassion of Joseph. That was the choice he made, to marry Mary. No doubt it was not an easy choice to make, but he chose and made a decision that serves the best interest of Mary and not himself. As a just man and one that is familiar with the law, Joseph knew what would become of Mary if he goes public with what he now know about Mary. But even though he thought Mary has been unfaithful to him, he chose to have compassion on her and do the right thing by her. From all accounts, at least from what is known here, we're just in verse 19 here, okay? Joseph was the aggrieved party here. He yielded his rights to Mary. I say it again, how we respond to crisis reveals a lot about our inner self. how we respond to those who we perceive to hurt us, perhaps also is an indication of our spiritual maturity. If there's anything to learn about Joseph here, is that do not let the hurt that others give to you drive you to retaliate in an effort to hurt them back. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, beloved, in the end, I'm trying to learn, it does not really matter what people think of you or think about you. What really matters is what God thinks of you and me. Joseph's shattering discovery, his serious difficulty, and then thirdly, after these were done, his saintly decision. Understand, beloved, that Joseph, even before the angel appeared to him, being the just man that he was, chose to be compassionate to Mary. Again, a testimony of a character of a just man. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, while he thought on these things, it says there, where am I? Matthew 1. yes, I'm wanting to find out. Here we go. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all these was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God is with us. We find here, beloved, no other thing but the providence of God. You see, beloved, I say it again, our faith is never supposed to be a blind faith. The Lord never puts us in a position where we have no guidance whatsoever. We have the Holy Spirit, of course, indwelling us, guiding us into all truth. The inspired Word of God preserved for us in all these generations. Here, an angel was provided by God to Joseph in a dream. Now, before we proceed further, dreams and visions, yes, even angels were used by God at that time to communicate to man. I will not say that God cannot do the same in this our time, but beloved, do not be guided by your nightly dreams. Do not trust the seemingly conclusive circumstances in your life to make decisions. Okay, we now have the full canon of scriptures right here, and the principles contained in the Word of God to reveal to us the will and the ways of God. I say again, it's like a parade, our life. It is as if we are in between two tall buildings, and a parade is going through in front of us, the parade of life. And what we're seeing is exactly what we see in front of us. We have a faint memory of what has just passed, but we cannot see what's coming. But if we walk on top of the two buildings, and we can see the parade from the beginning until the end. But life is not like that. We deal with life as it unfolds before us. But you see, beloved, life on this earth, as much as we cannot view it for all that it is, we know that there is an all-knowing God that knows the beginning and the end. And our job is to trust Him. He knows before the foundation of the world that He would allow you to be formed into your mother's womb and you will be born at the time of his appointing. And guess what? Hebrews 9:27, you will also exit and leave this earth at his appointed time. The best that you and I can ever do in our life here on earth is to trust the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And what is the promise? He shall direct our paths. Beloved, that promise is true even in our times of shattered dreams. Our Heavenly Father is in control, and the Bible says that he doeth all things well, and he knows what is best for us. And so we find here that the angel explained to Joseph what had happened to Mary, being a miracle from God. From verses 21 to 23, Joseph was given not only the explanation, but also the purpose of that miracle. He was told to name his son Jesus, the begotten, that's what it means. Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. That is what that name Jesus means. His name will personify our theme this Christmas time in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, let's say it together, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just as we learned last week in the city of David, a Savior is born. And here again, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I say it again, Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is all about Christ being the Savior of man. Question before us is, how are we celebrating Christmas? Who and what is the center of our celebration? Is it the gifts or the giver of the best gift ever, as we've learned this morning? Is it the Christmas tree? Who is the center, or what is the center of our celebration? Or is it the one with a capital O who hanged on a cruel tree? The Emmanuel, God with us, the one who was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, is he? Is he the center of our celebration? Oh, I hope so. I pray so. You see, Joseph did not fully understand all of this miracle. And even up to now, we still do not fully understand how the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, would so work together, the three in one, to have Mary conceive miraculously. You know, even in our life, even in our shattered dreams, we don't understand it, beloved. I think most of us have lived long enough on this earth that there are things that happens in our life or have happened in our life that we cannot fully explain. We don't understand the way forward, and sometimes it may be dark and desolate. It may be even through the shadow of death, but what do we know about the shadow of death? Though we walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, what do? They comfort me. When you and I are on the deathbed of in the hospital, and whilst we're not at that point, we fear. It's amazing how many of the brethren who have been there and done that, when the prospect is dim, and yet they have the peace of God. They're living it right now. And they are able to testify of that. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, beloved, the year is about to end. Lord willing, a new one will begin. And when I look and listen to this fallen world around me, it does not give me any real comfort. I really have no confidence in the politicians of our day. I have no confidence in the policies which are becoming more and more anti-God. I'm beginning to lose confidence in people. Sadly, saints and sinners alike. I confess to you, I'm concerned about the prospect of the future of our state and indeed our nation. But you see, that is how I may see it. But that is not what may God wants it to be. I may see it that way, but it doesn't mean that I am correct. I'm not infallible. God is. I'm not omniscient. God is. I'm not sovereign and omnipotent. God is. And as much as I can be disappointed in people, my perspective is warped, clouded by my emotions, but God is not like me. He is not like you. He is holy and righteous just in all his dealings, and he sees man for who he really is, a sinner in need of a Savior. That's why there is Christmas, beloved. Because this world, with every man, woman, and child that lives in it, needs Jesus, for he is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. See your Savior today? Is your Christmas going to be a same old, just like every other year? Oh, again, I hope. Who do you think will save you from your sins? You and your good works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 3, verse 5. I stand before you right now not knowing what God has placed in my future. Like you and I am already faced with some questions over the events in my life of the past, events in my life in the present, and I still have questions in the events in my life in the future. I may not know tomorrow. You may not know tomorrow. But we all know who holds tomorrow. And that is no other than the Lord Jesus himself. Somewhere in my journey through faith, at a time and a place I have not arrived yet, my questions will be answered, beloved, in his time. I read this thought this week, and I reckon it is so true. While we are toiling here today, the Lord has already gone into tomorrow and arranged our path, supplied our need, and lifted our burden. Isn't that comforting? My duty, your duty as God's children, is to trust him every step of the way in humble faith. Joseph did that, and right here in verse 24, he did as the angel of the Lord bid him. In closing, there will be times, beloved, that God will put us in a place where it is hard to accept and hard to do. But you see, faith doesn't seek the easier road. Faith is the essence of things unseen. Faith is us being fully persuaded as to who and what we believe. It's that passionate belief in our soul that God knows best, and he will place us in situations where our dreams perhaps will be shattered for the salvation of man. I read a story of Maria and her daughter Cristina, who live in a poor neighborhood in Brazil. Maria's husband had died when Cristina was an infant, and she never remarried. Times were tough. But at last, Cristina was old enough to get a job to help out. Cristina spoke often of going to the city, and the excitement of the cities in Brazil brings to a young woman like her. Just the thought and mention of that horrified her mother, who knew exactly what Cristina would have to do for a living in the city that is Brazil. If you know anything about Brazil, you will understand the horror of her mother. Maria woke up one morning to find her daughter's bed empty. Knowing where her daughter was headed, she gathered up all the money that she had to follow her daughter. But before she headed off, she passed by a drugstore and went into a photo booth and spent almost all that she had to take photo of herself. She then took the bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. When pride meets hunger, a human being will do things that are unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria searched for her daughter into pubs, motels, nightclubs, and any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all. And at each place, Maria left her own photo. She placed them to every bathroom mirror or tucked them to a hotel bulletin board, fastened them to a corner telephone booth. On the back of each photo, she wrote a note. Not long after, all her money and the photos ran out. Maria, the mother, went home. A few weeks later, young Christina descended from a hotel stairs. Her young face was tired. Her dreams had become a nightmare. But as she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again. And there on a lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was a compelling invitation. Whatever you've done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And Christina did. You see, regardless of what has become of your life in 2021, it doesn't have to be the same in the new year. Those shattered dreams of yours, you can bring it to Jesus right now. He can turn your nightmares into new life in Him. Christian, you that are here and those of you who are watching and listening to me right now, where are you at? Do you have shattered dreams? How are you dealing about it? Are you responding to your shattered dreams as Joseph did? How are you going to celebrate Christmas this year? Will the Emmanuel be in the center of it? As Cherry sang tonight, will you have room for the Savior? Can I say to us tonight, will we make room for the Savior in the coming week, in the coming year? Oh, Calvary Baptist Church, life is short. Let's not spend it in things for ourselves. Let's spend it for the things of others. And that be our goal for this coming year.